Welcome to the Bonfire. This is season 7, episode 6, and we're going through the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, 7 letters to 7 churches. We get to hear what Jesus is saying to those churches in a very specific historical time and place, but it's also relevant for us today. You might think about your own city and the different churches that exist, and some of them have strengths which God commends, and then there's also some areas that God rebukes. Jesus brings commendation, and he also brings challenges and exhortation, and there's some areas there needs to be some repenting in the churches then. We need to repent today. Any areas that we are off track, we need to come back and return to God with all our heart. That's when you sense God's fire in your soul, is when you say yes to God. Unless we repent, there won't be revival and restoration. Repentance leads to healing. And as Jesus talks to each of these churches, we know that he is fully aware of every aspect of our lives individually and also churches today. And we want churches, we pray for churches to be the most vibrant, hope-filled places in the community. And for that to happen, we need to rely on Jesus. We need to align with Scripture. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In this particular church, it's the church in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Not in America, of course, but going back to Asia then, Philadelphia, brotherly love. This is a church that is not going to receive a rebuke. Smyrna and Philadelphia stand out in that way. There's all positive things to say about this church, and then there's encouragement because the challenges are intense. If you wanted to summarize this church, Philadelphia, you would call it a faithful church. And ultimately, that's what we all want to be. We want to be faithful to Jesus. There is no higher calling. Now, it doesn't mean that things are going to be easy for this church in Philadelphia. And I'm going to read the first part of the message that comes from God to the church. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. When he opens a door, no one can close it. When he shuts it, no one can open it. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but they are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth." When you hear that, you start to recognize some of the specific areas where there are challenges. Now, in terms of Philadelphia, in that region, there were a lot of earthquakes. There was an earthquake in 37 AD that stood out with a lot of damage. Repeated earthquakes. I remember when I lived in California, there was a lot of earthquakes. Some are smaller, some are going to have more damage. But some people live on a fault, or they live in a very active area. And when there is an earthquake or a wildfire, we had a wildfire in Northern California that literally burned our house. Fortunately, we had moved out, but the house was destroyed, the neighborhood was destroyed. When there's natural disasters, it feels like a setback. There's tragedy, people are dying, you've got to rebuild. That's a tall order. And Philadelphia was a place that they had to overcome. Earthquakes, frequent earthquakes, did a lot of damage to the city. That's just one area. And we all can relate to things out of our control that happen, that are massive. And the rebuilding process, you have to really dig deep with the Lord to come back again. In addition to that, we have opposition, people who are hostile. In this particular city, there were Jewish people who rejected the Messiah, rejected the Holy Spirit, rejected the followers of Jesus, and it was intense. You might be facing some persecution. It could be from within your family or your workplace. Could be your school, the nation where you live. In different ways, it starts out subtle, and people might look down upon you because you followed Jesus. They might see you as second rate. Then they might push you out of their social circles. They might criticize you, slander, gossip. They might give you some business on social media, trying to take you down and undermine you. And then it might get physical. It might, you know, you might be in a country where literally people are getting killed for their faith. I was looking at pictures in Africa this week where not only are churches getting wiped out and people being taken into jail, but also people being killed, martyrs for the faith. That is happening all over the world today. If you're in the middle of persecution, you know the temptation is to be quiet, to retreat, to shut it down, to hide, to not cause any friction. And a lot of people are no longer active in their faith, but there are others who rise up and are bold and stay faithful and true, and they consider it, like Acts chapter 5, they consider it an honor to suffer for the name of Jesus. Persecution tests the church. It tests the followers of Jesus. And sometimes you see Jesus followers at their very best when there's persecution. It's ironic. You would think, how can they thrive in that environment? But they decide this is the mountain we're going to die on. We're going to live for each other. We're going to love each other. We're going to reach people with the gospel. And it doesn't matter what they do to us. We've already decided if we die, we die. We're going for it with Jesus. There's other settings that are more prosperous and people get casual. They get lukewarm. They become nominal Christians, meaning they have the name, but it's not really the reality. People have some doctrine, but they're not really living for God. They have the right answers, but they're not on fire for God, and they just blend into the culture and the patterns of the world. The city here in Philadelphia, there's a lot of opposition. It was a wake-up call. The believers responded with faithfulness. And there's a third area of challenge. We're starting with the challenges here because we want to be realistic. If you're following Jesus, there's going to be challenges. If you're faithful, living a godly life, there will be persecution. That's what the Bible says. Don't buy into the false teaching that it's just going to be easy for you. No, there's challenges here. There's earthquakes, natural disasters. There's opposition from groups that want to take down the Christians. And then also the followers of Jesus, the Lord says it here. I know you have little strength. Do you ever feel like that? You've been serving God, and you're just tired. Jesus was tired. He was sinless, and he was tired. Sometimes we get weary, and the Bible says, keep going. There's going to be a harvest. There's going to be times during a day. There's going to be times during the week where the motivation isn't as strong. You don't have as much energy, and you're just crying out saying, God, please help me to stay faithful here because I'm running out of strength. It might be emotional strength. It might be physical strength. There's strength that God gives in our weakness. His grace is sufficient. But God allows us to feel our tiredness, our exhaustion. You might look at the list of things to do today, and you're thinking, how am I going to get this done? How am I going to do this with joy? How am I going to do this with some passion? I feel like I'm running on empty right now. And that can happen to someone with the best intentions. That can happen to someone who's abiding with Jesus. You're just running low, and God is there. God is there to refuel you, to renew you. God will do it. He'll give you everything you need for life and godliness. He'll give you everything you need to be faithful. You're going to need to lean in. You're going to need to rely on God. Strength comes from His Word. Strength comes from worshiping God. Strength comes from prayer and crying out to God. Strength comes from being around the right people who pick you up. I've played on a lot of sports teams, and as a team, captains just know we got to pick this guy up. He made a mistake. He's struggling. He's got some challenges off the field. Choose friends that come alongside you and give you a good word. That's what they're doing. That's what they're battling through here in Philadelphia. Again, the challenges you can relate to beyond your control, and it was earthquakes for them, or opposition, starting feeling a little discouraged because of that, or you're running out of strength. In all those cases, God is going to be there. You can stay faithful. The church in Philadelphia, they're going to stay faithful. And where's the encouragement? If you're going through those challenges, right, what's the good news? And here's some of the good news that Jesus brings. First, he says that he is holy and he is true. When you're following Jesus and life gets difficult, it's important to know he is the truth. He speaks the truth. I'm willing to die for Jesus. I'm not going to die for a lie, but I'll die for the truth. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is holy. When the world gets more corrupt and there's more sin and moral deterioration, all of that, you sometimes can get disillusioned, but you come back to Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He's holy. Then he has the key. He holds the key of David. Now, different scholars and Bible commentaries are going to make different statements about this particular aspect, holding the keys and the keys of David. David was a king, had a lot of wealth and provision. Jesus has a lot of provision. But beyond that, there's a spiritual wealth. There's a spiritual depth and resource holding the keys. Holding the keys with authority. Authority over heaven and earth. Authority in the kingdom. Authority that's eternal. Authority, he is worthy because he is holy. Jesus is in charge. And he says, when he opens a door, no one can close it. When he closes a door, no one can open it. This is true for the kingdom. This is true for entrance into heaven. It's also true for different situations that God is going to open a door and no one can close it. The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, God has opened a door. There are many who oppose me. You're going to feel that way. When God calls you, when there's a breakthrough, God gives you an opportunity, and yet there's those bringing darkness and shade and hate and criticism. They're trying to undermine you. It's important to know and be confident that God is sovereign. God opened the door. None of them can stop God. If God is for you, who can be against you? Confidence in God. That's what Jesus is building up as they read this. God's going to open the door. No one can close it. Also, when God closes that door, no one can open it. The church will advance. The kingdom of God every day is unstoppable. Every day the kingdom grows. More people turn to Jesus. There's all kinds of spiritual battles. Yes, the devil's real. Yes, demons are real. No one can stop the kingdom of God. No one can stop God's work. God who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. God is going to be faithful the entire way, the entire journey. God is faithful. Jesus is building up the confidence, his followers, sons and daughters, his family in Philadelphia. They're going to need a lot of confidence in God to be faithful. Underneath it all for you, trust in God, confidence in God, confidence in his character, confidence in his promises, confidence that God is going to always be there. He's always good. He has the final say, and his enemies will be scattered and defeated. That's what they need, and that's what we need today. When you know that God is good and he's real and his word is true, you are going to be bold. The righteous are bold like a lion. And you are going to be strong in the middle of the storm. You're going to find your strength in the Lord. You're not going to shrink back. You're going to have a backbone. You're going to be bold. And that's what the church in Philadelphia is. And Jesus is coming alongside them, commending them. They have kept his word. They have stayed the course. They are continuing in the middle of the test. And then there's going to be relief. Jesus is going to help them in the trials that come. He's looking out for them. He's going to keep them. He's going to sustain them. And they are to endure patiently. What does that mean, endure patiently? As you read through the book of Revelation, you're going to see that over and over again. The saints, the followers of God, need to endure patiently. Keep trusting God. Keep doing the right thing. Continue to be devoted to the word, to prayer, to fellowship. Continue along the way that God says to walk in his ways. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Don't go backwards. But keep your eyes on Jesus, enduring patiently. You're going to have to endure a lot. Think about all that Jesus endured. When you read the book of Acts in the early church, look at all they endured. You are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. You're going to make it through this. This is going to pass. But you need to be persistent. You need to be committed. You need to be devoted. And that conviction and commitment runs deeper than the challenges that you face. They are going to stay the course. And then Jesus says this, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God, and I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. God is going to return. Jesus will return. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. There's going to be a new Jerusalem. Jesus is giving them a vision beyond their years, beyond their decades. He's giving them a long-term vision. When you have an eternal perspective, it'll help you today. When you see the goodness of heaven, it'll help you endure the hell of today. It's been said that, yes, there is an eternal hell, but there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then Satan is at work to steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to create a hell here on earth. But God is going to prevail. That's why we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because not only are you a citizen of heaven, and heaven is your home, but you are called to bring heaven here now. God's kingdom right here, right now. Give people a taste of heaven with joy, with peace, with prayer. Give people a taste of the goodness of God in the middle of the trial they're going through. And Jesus does that by saying, you know, I am coming soon. Soon means quickly. Soon means suddenly. Time-wise, we're waiting for Christ to return. Some people hear the word soon and they think he's coming this year. We don't know the date of when he's coming. But he's going to come quickly. It's going to come suddenly. And all of the temptations, all of the trials that we face, all of the testing will be concluded. When we die, that's the end of all of the challenges. We're going to be in perfection forever, for eternity. Let your mind just start to dwell on that, meditate on that. Your destiny is perfection for eternity. All of your injuries are gone. All of the things people do to you that are wrong are gone. All the deceptions gone. Everything that weighs you down, the sin that so easily entangles, all of it's gone. That's your home. That's your destiny. That's guaranteed. Would you agree that then should make a difference in how we live now? That frees us up. Because we're thinking, wait a minute, I'm only going to go through this pain for how many years? That's nothing compared to eternity. How difficult is it now? All that's going to be gone. Well, what does that do? It shifts our perspective. Now we have God's peace and presence, his perspective, his power. Then we really hone in on, well, what am I called to do now? If I have God's perspective, what is God calling me to do now? And for the people in Philadelphia, it was going to include rising above the challenges. It was going to include staying faithful, staying bold. Here's what's interesting. As I'm studying in the church in Philadelphia, the Bible commentaries are all saying there's Christians there today. You can't say that of every city that we read about in the Bible and what does it exist today? What does it look like today? But for there to be a Christian witness today, it goes back to the faithfulness that we're reading about here in Revelation chapter 3. When you're faithful, you're going to bless future generations. You're going to bless young children. You might have children or you just might serve children. You might be someone who has an influence, an impact, a platform. You might be mentoring kids. You might be a coach, a teacher, a friend. You might be serving kids in a church. But the ways that you're serving, it's blessing the next generation. What you pass on to the next generation, they pass on to the following generation. And it continues, and you're part of that important chain. This is how God works. It's from one generation to the next, and you're part of God's design and plan. And the people in Philadelphia, when they were going through the difficulties, they had no idea how much impact it would have on future generations. I'm encouraging you to stay faithful because what you choose not only impacts your kids and your grandkids, but your grandkids' grandkids. And God has a long-term vision, and your faithfulness is linked to other people being blessed. God blesses you so you'll bless others. And when you bless others, they're going to bless others. God's kingdom has always worked that way. So don't be short-sighted. Don't only think about yourself. Don't only think about this week. Look at the long term and then hone in on what are we called to do. God had called them to shine the light in Philadelphia. God has called you to shine the light in your neighborhood, to shine the light in your church family, to serve and serve your generation faithfully. Pray for your kids. Pray for the next generation. Be faithful to pass along what God has given to you. Sometimes in the Bible, when you read the word teach, it simply means pass along. It could be opening up the Bible one-on-one. It could be sharing your story. But pass along what God has done in your life. And Philadelphia, they're passing along a legacy of faithfulness. Do you know how beautiful that is when you see three generations or four generations in one family faithfully walking with and serving God? The enemy hates that. The enemy will try to come in and stop that any way possible. And there's a spiritual battle. You need to keep praying. You need to stay bold. Because for there to be two, three, four generations, I was talking to a couple yesterday, and they were talking about the history of their family and all of the sin that's wrapped up. And they are saying, we're going to follow Jesus. Our marriage is going to be different. Our kids are going to be different. We're going to follow God. We're going to be sober. We're going to love Jesus. We're going to stay married. We're not going to get divorced. There can be a change in one generation that's going to impact the next 4, 5, 10 generations in your family. You make that shift. You say, I appreciate my parents. I learned some good things from them. I was blessed through them, but I also see some things that are going to change. It's going to start with me, and we're going a new direction. This is a call to faithfulness, and the church in Philadelphia inspires us because in the middle of their challenges, they're going to choose faithfulness. We need to choose faithfulness. And today, I'm convinced that includes at home. A lot of times faith gets compartmentalized to church, but what's happening at home? How's the purity at home? How's the hospitality in opening doors at home? How's scripture going at home? How's serving one another, forgiving one another? How is that going at home? Jesus wants to be Lord, not only when we're in the church, but when we are home. This area, Philadelphia, it was not as wealthy. It was not a big city like some of the others. It's not the wow and the worldly and the pop. It's kind of quieter. It's kind of smaller. It's more agricultural. The church in Philadelphia had a contentment. And you know what's missing today for a lot of people? Contentment. Contentment doesn't come through something you purchase. Contentment doesn't come through what's created. Contentment comes from your creator, and contentment comes from answering the call. And there's a lot of ministries and churches. There's a lot of followers of Jesus who are faithful behind the scenes. They're not on as many websites. Their stories aren't being told as often, but they know that they are being faithful to God. God will reward them in heaven, and they will continue to stay the course. If that's you, if you're serving God and you don't have all the recognition, the appreciation, you're not in the headlines like some other ministries, like some other people, that's okay. Let it go. Trust God. Why? Because that stuff doesn't matter. Yes, it's nice to be acknowledged. Yes, it's nice when someone affirms you, or it's nice when you get a promotion. Those things are nice when you have some title. But at the end of the day, those things really don't matter. What matters is that you unto God are being faithful and you're going to do what God calls you to do. This is what Jesus said. Hold on to what you have. And as you do that, there's going to be a crown for you that no one can take away. Hold on to what you have. Use what you have. You might think that you don't have as much money as someone else to be generous. Use what you have. You might think you don't have as many gifts as someone else. Use what you have. You might think you don't have as many opportunities and open doors. Well, walk through the ones that God's given you. Don't be worried about others comparing, envying. Don't belittle what God's done in your life. Don't despise small beginnings. The ministries that start out, sometimes they might not look like a big deal right away, but it's the seeds of faithfulness. And the seeds of faithfulness will always bring a harvest. I was talking to someone that serves in a global real estate market. They serve in this business, in this real estate company, and they decide with a couple of coworkers, let's start a Bible study. And they offered it to people globally in the real estate company. 180 people showed up online. That's just an example where you get an idea that seems small, Bible study. And then you take a relationship risk. You say, well, let's see who wants to come. And then God blesses it. The increase that God brings, no one can stop it. And when there are choices of faithfulness, there might be 20 choices of faithfulness before the harvest. But the faithfulness to walk with God, the faithfulness to endure, the faithfulness to keep praying, the faithfulness to find a couple friends who want to run with Jesus, and then the faithfulness to risk something new, and then the faithfulness to make an invitation. There's all these little steps of faithfulness. And then what happens? Lives are changed. And for the church in Philadelphia, hold on to what you have. Use what you have. I know you don't have much strength, Jesus says, but I have limitless strength. Jesus has infinite strength. So find your source. Find your source. What is going to keep you going in the most difficult days? What is it? Is it one Bible verse? Is it one friend? Is it one prayer that you keep praying? Find your source. Your source is God. God has given strength through His Word and through His people, through His Spirit. Before I'm preaching, sometimes I'll get nervous. Sometimes I start to kind of feel like I'm forgetting part of the message. I start to feel a little timid. And then I come back to, no, I believe in the Holy Spirit. This is not about me. This is not about my strength. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I just start to say that and affirm, confirm that my strength is coming from God. And God starts to show up. God starts to move. So let's be inspired today by the church in Philadelphia, and let me remind you today that Jesus is holy and He's true, that He holds the keys and the authority, that when He opens a door, no one can close it, that He knows when you have little strength, but there is an eternity, a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, and we will run this race in His power. We will be faithful for the glory of God, and thank you, God, for churches like Philadelphia that we see. And we're so grateful that we get to serve you together. I hope that's an encouragement to you today. Here at the Bonfire, we gather, we dive into God's Word, and the Holy Spirit, the fire of God, starts to grow in our lives. We want to bring out the best in each other. If this has encouraged you, share it with someone else that needs a word, that needs a timely word to stay faithful in difficult circumstances. Let's keep growing in our faith together, and we'll see you next week at the Bonfire.